Amen. We are in the middle of a series. Actually, this is part two of last week's message. And if you were here, I got a lot of feedback about this last week, and most of it was good. Some of it was like, what? I don't know about that, but it's all right. You know what? I got big shoulders. You're not going to scare me. I'm just preaching the word, right? This is what the Bible says, so I can't help you. You can argue with God. But anyway, this has been a good series, a wonderful series, very convicting. How many of you know a little conviction's okay now and then? You know, you can be loved and praised on, and oh, that's okay. We'll give you a trophy for finishing 74th in the marathon. That's okay. But a little conviction is okay, right? Our words, as we saw in the video there, carry enormous power. They carry the power to heal, to wound, to uplift, encourage, dishearten, speak truth or deceive, praise or criticize. Words have power. Our text scripture for this series is Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. It says, death, death, death. Anybody want to die today? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it eat its fruit. If that wasn't in the Bible, I would not believe it at all. There's no way. There's no way that's truth. But you know what? It was written by the smartest man in the world, Solomon. So I would guess it was truth in the life of him. He saw it produced. So it's truth in the life for us. In Isaiah 59, I'm going to hustle through these first five, okay? Because we talked about these in great detail last week. And if you want to hear them, you can go to the website, thebridgelive.org, and you can listen to part three and catch the first five. But in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Simply put, God never is out of reach. He never leaves you. He never deserts you. He never takes off. He's always right there. But, listen to verse 2, but your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear, cannot hear, he will not hear. Okay? Look at verse 3. This kind of explains everything. He says, for your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perversity. Huh. Now, God never leaves you. God never deserts you, the scripture says in Hebrews. But you can have separation. You can lose that intimacy that you have. Thank you, Tony. You can lose intimacy with God in your relationship. And like we were praying before, intimacy is the quiet place. It's the safe place. It's where we all have, you know, we were created by God, so we are drawn to intimacy with him. Whether you've ever had it or not. Maybe you've been listening to a worship song and you felt that, just that draw, that whatever that is. That's the Lord who created you. That's him drawing you into relationship, into intimacy. Into me, you see, being drawn in. Wouldn't that be a fun place to be all the time? But here's what happens. We speak words. We speak foul language. We speak unbelief. We speak these words, and that separates us. That puts separation in our intimacy. And pretty soon, we are trying to do it all by ourselves. How many of you know you're going to fail every time? Yep. You're not designed to do it alone. So we're talking in this week and last week, we're talking about 10 deadly sins that we produce with our mouth. And it's been ugly. And it hurts. Even, you know, I'm preaching to me today. Because, you know, you guys are perfect in every way. I can tell because, you know, nobody's, never mind. That's just going to go bad. So these 10 deadly sins, what happens is, we produce a great relationship, intimacy with the Lord, and then we destroy it by the words of our mouth. Right? 10 deadly sins. I'm going to hustle through these, okay? Because we talked about them in great detail, these first five, and then we'll talk about the second five. It says, first one, lying. We produce lying with our mouth, and it creates separation from God. Or we talked about Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. Listen to this. This is going to stun you into going, I got to shut up. Because look at what he says. He says, these six things the Lord hates. Oh, God is love. He doesn't hate anything. It's right here. These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him. Abomination is another word for sin. It's detestable. Its root is idolatry. This is not pleasing to God, these seven things. He says, a proud look, pride, a lying tongue. God doesn't like liars or lying, right? Loves the liars. Hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies. That's twice he says, I hate lies. Twice. And one who sows discord among the brethren. Don't you love that person? Always, you know, and if you look at all these together, there's always that person who's very prideful, meaning lying is rooted in pride because you're trying to either make yourself look good or make your story better than the other person's. Those types of things are rooted in pride. And he says that, you know, you're hurting people. God's number one priority in the earth is people. He loves people. And lying, if God is absolute truth in the earth, lying is counter of his absolute culture, of his character. Okay? And it's the only way to fix that. We talked about stronghold last week. Again, you can go listen to it. But the only way to break that stronghold of lying in your life is accountability and correctability. And nobody wants to be accountable to anybody. Look at the country. I mean, can't tell me what to do. No, but I can beat you down. You know, ask my kids about that. We believe in the rod. The second one, sowing discord among the brethren. This is, you know, the thing in Acts chapter 2 when they were in the upper room. You know, what was the key to the Holy Spirit moving in that room? Being in one accord. They were united. People who sow discord bring disunity to the church. People who want to call you up and find out if you're okay. Oh, I'm just checking. And then they start sowing, you know, little seeds of discord in there, talking to you about, oh, the pastor this, or the church that, or this or that or the other thing. Those little seeds of discord create disunity. If we backed up to verse 12 in Proverbs chapter 6, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse tongue. Remember, in Matthew chapter 12, what comes out of the mouth starts in the heart. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. He says, he walks with a perverse tongue, winks his eyes, shuffles his feet, points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart because it's coming out of his mouth. Wonder where that perversity comes from. I don't know, watch TV, maybe your work environment, maybe the people you hang around with, your friends, your family even. Right? Where's this perversity coming from? Amen, Pastor. Thank you. That'll be all right. Listen to the perversity in his heart devises evil continually, sows discord. Sows discord. Look what happens. It says, therefore, because you sow discord, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. Have you ever seen somebody who's always sick, but always has a story about someone else? They want to call you up and just make sure you're okay. Are you okay after church today? Because I just want to check on you. But, you know, it's like, and then sow those little seeds of discord, but they're never at church because they're always sick. Because calamity has come. Oh, God won't heal me. God won't. Of course he won't, because you won't shut up. Pretty simple. Number three, gossip. Spreading intimate rumors or facts. This is one of my favorite scriptures in all of the Bible in 2 Corinthians 12:20. This is Paul writing to the church he planted, talking to his people. He says, "For I am afraid that when I come, I won't like what I find, and you won't like my response." It's like, wait till your daddy gets home. He says, "I'm afraid that I will find quarreling, jealousy, anger." Some translations say outbursts of anger, which is coming out of your mouth. "Selfishness, slander, gossip, arrogance rooted in pride, and disorderly behavior." And you know how we disguise gossip in the church? "I'm only telling you this so you can pray, okay? But Rachel," let me tell you something about Rachel, okay? "Let me gossip about Rachel." It's like, just shut up. You're not going to pray anyway. You just want to talk and prove to that person that you have information on her, which gives you the upper hand in her life. And then how is she going to want to, because James 5, look what James 5 says. This is a couple ahead. It says, "Confess your trespasses to one another." How is she going to confess to me so that I can pray and be forgiven if she has aught against me? And then I'm telling you, do you think she's going to trust me again? This is the church, people. I'm serious. This happens. People don't, they just have to talk. They have to tell you, and they are sick. They are broken down. They are in trouble because they won't shut up. It's like, stop talking. Half the time I'm talking to somebody, I'm like, why am I talking right now? Does this matter? Is this life or death? Is this going to edify or uplift this person? Because if it isn't, I don't want to talk anymore. This is going to be the quietest Sunday Connect we ever had today. It's going to be scary. Stop gossiping. Number four was slander. False, malicious report about somebody. You have no idea if it's true or not. My pastor, Pastor Zorn, this is what he said. He said there's three sides to every story. There's my side, there's your side, and then there's the truth. Which one are you going to believe? Because you're not going to tell me the truth. I don't even know what the truth is. How are we going to figure this out? Right? Slandering somebody, talking about somebody behind their back. "Let not a slanderer be established in the earth. Let evil hunt the violent man to overthrow him." God is serious. Shut up. Number five, we finished with this last week, tale-bearing. Tale-bearing is just making stuff up, telling people stories, revealing secrets, breaking that confidence I was just talking about. That's terrible. That's terrible. James 5 says this. It says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." If you're looking for healing, are you doing these things and talking about people? Are you all up into everybody's business? And you know, there's always that one person who knows everything about everybody, right? And if you don't know that person, maybe it's you. Right. Oops, he said that. Oh, he said that. Tail-bearing. And if we want to be healed and confessing trespasses to one another, if I have aught against you, I'm supposed to come to you and fix it. I'm not going to say all of my sin that doesn't even pertain to you and come to you and confess those things. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about aught against each other. If I have something against her, I'm supposed to go and fix it so I may be healed. And then shut up on the other four. Pretty simple. Right? Not talking about, you don't have to go to anybody and confess your sins except the Lord. That's it. That's it. There isn't any man, anybody, anywhere who's going to judge you, because you know why? Nobody's qualified. There was one qualified to judge the world because he was perfect, sinless, spotless. Everybody else is a liar and a thief, John 10 says. Hallelujah. Where's the Tylenol? All right. Number five, tail-bearing. Here's number six, okay? Cursing. Cursing. We walk around as people on the earth. We're supposed to speak blessing, but we are cursing things and don't even realize it. We don't even understand. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Their throat is an open tomb." He's Paul writing to the church in Rome, talking about the Pharisees and Sadducees. He says, "Their throat is an open tomb. Their tongues have practiced deceit. These are God's representatives he's talking about. The poison of asps, or snakes, is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. And people who curse a lot, and we're not talking about cussing, we're talking about cursing. We'll get to cussing in a minute. Is people who curse a lot are speaking curses on their life or on somebody else's life or on the company they work for or on to their checking account, which has got enough issues. Shouldn't really even be talking about that unless it's blessing, right? People who are speaking cursings, it's generally rooted in bitterness, right? They're mad about something. They're harboring resentment or unforgiveness about something. Amen, Pastor. Okay. We are to bless and not to curse. Okay? The word damnation, now don't judge me here because I'm going to use some words, right? Get ready. You know, put your earplugs in if you want. But the word damnation is a Bible word. The short version of damnation is damn. Then if we get really, because what happens is we get immature and we respond out of emotion, and then we put God in front of that, and we say, damnation, and we're speaking about things, and we're speaking a curse upon stuff by just saying that, responding out of emotion. Right. Just responding out of emotion. We say, damnation, with God in front of it, right? And damnation comes from the root of condemnation, and it's eternal. You can't even fix it unless, you know, you repent and all this other stuff. It's deep. Look at Psalm 109, verse 17. He says this. This is deep right here. This is shocking. I read this years ago, and it fixed the cursing problem. Listen to what he says. As he loved cursing, this is, you know, listen, just listen with your heart right here. As he loved cursing, so let it come to him. God's like, hey, dude, you want to curse? Go ahead. Go on with your bad self. As he did not delight in blessing, so let it be far from him. If you don't want it, it's okay. God's not going to run you into the ground over it. He'd be like, hey, you want to be cursed? Great. In the New Testament, he says, if you're harboring resentment or carrying unforgiveness, your prayers are hitting the metal ceiling. They're not even getting out of the room. Ouch. As he clothed himself with cursing as a garment. When you're a curse, when there's a curse and you're speaking curses over those things, it's like a wet robe on your body. Just blah. Then he says, so let it enter his body like water and like oil to his bones. How many of you know water and oil don't mix? Blessing and cursing don't mix. It's one or the other. You can speak blessing or you can speak cursing. Your choice. God's even going to say, hey, man, it's on you. Go on with your bad self. I'll just sit here and be happy. It's tough. It's tough. I would like to think as a Christ follower, we're supposed to be atmosphere changers. We're supposed to bring life into the place. We're supposed to bring blessing into the place. We're supposed to bring new life into a place. I can tell you are just on the edge of your seats with this one. This is deep, isn't it? This is a little conviction happening here. It's like, man, I got to shut my mouth. I gotta walk in. I can walk into work tomorrow going, not doing nothing, not saying nothing. Number seven, right? These three right here are like arm twisters. The last one is one that really hit my heart. But we're gonna start right here. Number seven, blasphemy. Blasphemy means evil speaking. Evil speaking, and to use God's name in an unsacred or self-serving way. Unsacred or self-serving ways. There's two ways this happens. We just talked about it, using God's name as a cuss word. Okay, that's one way. Blasphemy, right? Or to use God's name in a vain way or vanity, which is self-serving, about me, trying to get God to do something for you in vanity or in a self-serving way. Try to manipulate by walking up to somebody and say, hey, God told me this about you. And then manipulating that for your favor. God doesn't like that. And it's manipulation. Jeremiah said, don't say the Lord said if he didn't. I kind of wish, you know, on Friday nights at the coffee shop, we're talking about translating God, which is basically, you know, God's word spoken out to his people in a prophetic way, which is really kind of cool. I've been around prophets. I haven't seen them too much. But I kind of like the way the Old Testament worked concerning prophecy. If you had a prophecy and you spoke out that prophecy and that prophecy wasn't truth, God just collapsed you from the inside out right there. You were just dead on the spot. Boy, that'd thin the ranks of prophets around a little bit, wouldn't it? It'd be like, I don't know nothing. I ain't saying a word, okay? So don't say, thus says the Lord, if God didn't say it. It's very selfish, very self-serving to do that, to speak against. Here's some more blasphemy, to speak against the work of Jesus in the earth. Right, we talked about a couple weeks ago about the unpardonable sin. Why is it such a big deal to speak against the Holy Spirit in the earth? Because the Holy Spirit is what reveals Jesus as Savior to those who need Him. So if you're speaking against that, you're blocking that from happening. That's blasphemous. That's a big deal. That's not a forgivable sin, according to the Bible. Matthew 12, right? Kind of a big deal. So blasphemy. Next one, number 8, filthy language. If cursing and blasphemy wasn't enough, filthy language is everything else. And we all know this guy who got, you know, being in the position I am and working where I work or used to work or been out in the world, people find out what they want, what you are, and some people, not everybody, but they want to push the envelope. They want to show you just how filthy language really is and how really good they are at it. Just to see if they can get a rise out of you. Just so they can see, you know, they'll say something stupid and they'll be like, you going to do something? You going to say something? You going to cuss too? Now, how many of you know you get around filthy language and you listen to filthy language? Pretty soon you're speaking filthy language and you're like, where'd that come from? I don't talk like that. But you're hanging around that. And just the thought about filthy language, it's extremely unattractive. Yes. For me, right, as a male. Let's just leave that alone. It's just unattractive, okay? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8 says this. Says, but now you yourselves, this is the Apostle Paul, but now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, malice, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, put it out of your mouth. You know where this comes from. Like I just said, you hear it, so then you reproduce what you hear. You know, it makes me think, you know, my wife is extremely particular about what comes into our house on the TV. And if it's like an R-rated movie, if there's nudity, if there's language, if there's anything like that, she'll shut it off. It'll be like, we're not having this up in here. And we just moved into our brand new house and we anointed the place with oil and we declared over it that this is a place of peace and a place of sanctuary and rest. And we will bind the enemy from getting into that place. I encourage you. Let me speak to the men for a minute. Wouldn't it be something if the men stood up and said, I'm not allowing that kind of thing in my house anymore. Amen. And said, I'm going to live a sanctified life and not listen to it. Because when, I don't know about you, when I get in that environment and I'm hearing a lot of filthy language, I will do my best to remove myself from that atmosphere. But when I start hearing it, I start producing it. And it really aggravates the tar out of me because then I'm like, what am I don't talk like this. It's like, you know, and then you're like, dude, shut up. Michelle and I, years ago when we lived in California, used to have season tickets to the Los Angeles Kings. Many of you know they are the best hockey team in the world, which season starts in 2 weeks, by the way. Just heads up, you know, get your packages ready and your cards and tickets and stuff. But we were at a game, and we had season tickets, and we were sitting behind the net. And I don't know who, I think they were playing some East Coast team. And you always get, you know, the East Coast people for the East Coast games. And nothing against East Coast people. They're great people. But these particular two guys were sitting right in front of us. And this dude's mouth was serious. He was, you know, blankety blank and he blank and blank, blank, blank. And they were just talking. He wasn't even watching the game. And finally, I could tell, you know, my wife hates that. She hates bad language. She's squirming and she's sideways and she goes to the bathroom and she comes back and she's eating peanuts and this guy's just going to town. I mean, just, and finally she's like, can we just go? And I'm like, what? Go? The game's on. And she's like, this situation's just, I'm not comfortable. So I'm like, hey, can you shut up and stop cussing? I was really, you know, the game wasn't going well, so I was kind of rude about it. I'm like, hey, my wife's here. Can you shut up? Because if you don't, I'm going to have to leave. And you're messing up my flow here, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, man, geez, you don't have to be rude about it. And I'm like, see, you had to respond. Couldn't you just shut up and just be quiet and speak English words without all the bleepity blappity bloppity bleep? But no, you had to respond. So now I have to respond, and it's going to be a big deal. Because he couldn't control his mouth. And he had to speak filthy language. And it was aggravating. And I'm like, dude, I'm just asking. My wife's here. Can you just stop cussing? And he was offended by that. And I'm like, you're showing, you know, I said a lot of stuff I probably shouldn't have. And it was, you know, kind of went back. I'm like, you're showing your age. You know, what are you, five? And do you kiss your mother with that tongue? And do you eat with that mouth? And, you know, all this. It's just like, just shut up, dude. It's embarrassing. It's unattractive. And it's not, you know, what fixed me of the problem of cussing? Somebody told me that it was that I sounded ignorant. And I said, what'd you say to me? He said, you sound, when you cuss and swear like that, you sound ignorant. And that really, I don't know why, but that really struck a chord with me. And it really kind of fixed the problem. But like I said, still get around that environment. I'm not around it anymore. But when I was around it, I would pick it up. And I was like, I don't talk like this. And that particular guy at the game that day, it just wrecked my whole night. That's like, you're ignorant. You sound stupid. Did I turn this off? All right. I didn't touch it. Okay? So you just sound ignorant. It's terrible. So filthy language. That's, I don't know. Paul's working on it. Number nine, contentious speech. Especially living around here, you'll hear this one. Contentious speech. Hateful, hurtful, malicious, disagreeable, and argumentative. We all know this person, right? And like I said, if you don't know this person, it's probably you. Amen? So be ready. It's the person who's always right, the person who never listens, the person who always has to have the last word, who always has to say something, just that little dig in there, just to make you want to punch them in the head. That contentiousness, right? Now, don't judge me, okay? Because I'm just talking about this scripture first, and then we'll do the second one. But it says, better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than a house shared with a contentious woman. Okay? Before all the women start throwing their shoes, 26:21 in Proverbs says, as charcoal is to a burning coals and wood to a fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. You need some strife in your life? Find a contentious person and hang around with them. Because they will aggravate you to no end. They don't listen. Like half the time you're like, why am I talking to you? I could talk to this bottle and get further. Because you just want to argue about stuff. And those types of people are just like, praise God, brother. Have a nice day. That word contentious comes from contend. They just want to fight. I'm all for having theological discussions, but people who just want to argue about the Bible's, you know, not true, the Bible's this, it's like, whatever, keep your opinion, I don't care. You're going to do what you want to do anyway. Right. I'm just going to keep doing what I do. Leave me alone about it, because I'm not going to believe what you believe, and you're not going to believe what I believe. So why are we going to argue, right? It's a lot of people say things, these contentious people, to get a rise out of you. Like I said earlier, they'll say something to you and then they'll go. You didn't lose your mind and freak out and use all the filthy language and cuss and swear and everything else. What happened? It's like, hey, I know who I am. I'm okay. Amen. I'm all right. Wouldn't it be great if the men, the atmosphere setters, the thermostats in their house were peaceful and just say, hey, it's all right. It's all right. I know you love me. It's okay. I don't have to scream at you to get you to do something. I can just say, hey, man, it's all good. We're all in the hood here, same place. Contentious speech. Think about that next time you're trying to get your way about something. It's like, am I being contentious here? Does this really matter? Or am I just trying to be right? Or am I saying something to somebody just to get a rise out of them? Just because I know it's going to bug them? I've done it, done that. I've done that a lot. Usually starts a fight, which is kind of, bad. Men set the tone.
That's right.
Let's do this, right? Number 10, last one. We'll close right here. Unbelief. This is the one that hurts the most. This is how you backpedal in your relationship with Jesus faster than anything else in the world. And it's, we speak out of our mouth. Unbelief. We sit in here, we talk about 10 things about how to correct our language, and then we walk out the door before we even hit the outside air that's way too hot. We're already spoken or thinking or producing unbelief in our life. Yep. We could call this one negativity. Being negative all the time. I was negative all the time. Everything was bad. This is the end of the world. It's like, dude, really, it's okay. It's, still going to turn. Jesus is still on the throne. Everything's okay. But we think all the worst. But really, you know what? Jesus lives in you, and you can overcome no matter what. We just have to produce blessing and not cursing with our mouth. Look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. It says, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief. God calls it evil. Evil heart of unbelief. That's deep. That's serious. In departing from the living God. When we are walking in unbelief or producing unbelief with our mouth, we are departing from God. Intimacy, gone. God loves faith, not unbelief. Then look what he says. He says, in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily. Amen. Exhort one another daily. Don't pick on each other. Amen. You know, I forget who wrote the book, The Comparison Killer. But when we start comparing with each other, when you start putting the comparisons together, that's a killer. That'll breed unbelief. In a second, it's like, oh, I'll never be that good. Our church will never be that big. We'll never. It's like, that's unbelief. Evil, God calls it. And he says, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That's a big deal. Remember in Genesis when the children of Israel got to the Jordan River and they spent 12 spies to the promised land? Right? 10 came back with a bad report. God called it unbelief. 2 had a good report. That was called a faithful report. Pretty interesting that 12 people went to the same place, saw the same thing, and 10 had the negative report, speaking unbelief. How often do we speak unbelief and don't even realize it? I wish I could pray an alarm system into your head. where it's like, oh, we'll never get on top of these bills. Unbelief. Right? Wouldn't that be funny? That'd be great. You'd be falling asleep and be like, man, I gotta, oh, stupid pastor started this thing. 12 people went into the promised land, saw there was giants in the promised land. Isn't that amazing? 9, 10 feet tall. Oh, there's giants in the promised land. Unbelief. The two with the positive, faithful report said what? Yes, there's giants in the land, but our God is bigger. Think about this for a minute. This is just the way my mind works. Think about this for a second. Why were there giants in the promised land? Who put giants in the promised land? Maybe God put giants in the promised land so nobody could take the land without him. That's deep right there. Maybe there's giants in your life that you can't overcome. Number one, because you're speaking unbelief. Number two, maybe God wants to help you with it. Overcome those giants by stop speaking negative, faceless words. We have on the table, we have that red book full of God's promises. I encourage you, take one of those with you. Read them out loud so your ears can hear them. This isn't an overnight fix. This is something you do every day. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not below. I am an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror. How do you be more than a conqueror? You start producing those things out of your mouth, your language will go from negative to faith-filled words, just like the two, Joshua and Caleb, went into the promised land. Only two out of that whole generation, because they spoke faith-filled words. You'll never defeat the giant without God. You'll never defeat the giant without filling your words with faith. And I'm not talking about the name it, claim it, grab it, blab it, grab it, whatever that stupidness is. I'm talking about just changing your confession to, I can do this job. I can win this fight. I am on top of these bills. I am going to pay this car off. Faith-filled words that God can do something with. Then things change, and it all starts in the spiritual realm. All starts with what you say and what you pray. Stop speaking curses. Start speaking blessing. Our words can hurt, but they can heal. There's bad ones, there's good ones, but when we start producing faith with our words, that's when lives change. It's everybody stand up. I'm convicted, serious, hardcore on this one. This has been a hard series to preach just because I struggle so much in this area, trying to speak positive, faith-filled words. You know, when we're preaching to more empty chairs than full chairs, when, you know, things happen and it just doesn't look like you're on the right path. But when you look back and you say, God sent me here for such a season as this, for this, and you start producing faith-filled words with your mouth, your mind falls into line. And it changes. Now, a couple weeks ago, I told you about the 7 divine words that heal every relationship. And I'm talking about this every single week because this is how you fix the mess you've made. The same vehicle that drove you into the ditch and drove you into this problem that you're having is the same vehicle that gets you out. And you say simply, I repent, Lord. These divine 7 divine words, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? It's that simple. So bow your heads, close your eyes, we're going to pray. And I want you to think about what's been happening in your life, the words you've been producing with your mouth, and the faithless, you know, life that you've had. You can fix it today. You can fix it today. And it's a simple process of just saying, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up you today, God. We thank you, Father, for repentance, for repentant hearts, God, for hearts that are open to hear your voice today. So, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus for the glory of God, for an open heaven right now, Lord, as these people are vulnerable, they're convicted, their eyes are open, and they're ready for change. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want you to say these words with me. Say, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? In Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed in this place today. If you have a prayer concern today, if you have anything you want to pray about, maybe it's a job, a child, a kid, a life, something going on in your life, just stick your hand up high. Somebody will come and pray with you from the back of the room. You don't even have to go anywhere. Anybody anywhere. If you have walked away from God, maybe you have been struggling in your life, maybe you want to give your life to Christ today or rededicate your life and be born again. Be like what we were talking about in the beginning during worship, where we're talking about being new. Maybe you've never done that in your life. Just stick your hand up high so somebody could come and pray with you. It'll be good. This is the time. Don't be bold. Don't be too proud. Don't be too arrogant. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's doing anything. If you want somebody to come and pray with you, just stick your hand up high if somebody sees it. It's okay. You won't be judged. You won't be criticized. You won't be looked down upon. This is what the body of Christ does. This is the way this works. Anybody anywhere? Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Everybody look up here at me. Listen to me. You can overcome this life you're in. You can do this by speaking faith-filled words, a faith-filled life. Changing your confession changes your life from top to bottom, from the inside out. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever you put in is going to come out. Put in life. Put in faith. I don't know about you, but listen to these messages again. I listen to them every Monday. Listen to myself. It's kind of weird, I know. But you know what? It helps me to get my words right. Because I want to live a blessed life. I want to have an overcoming life. Amen. Hold back your enthusiasm. It's pretty exciting. Let me pray over you before we go today. And I encourage you to stick around for Sunday Connect. Just want to shake your hand, meet you, man. You can have some of Benita's amazing souffle. It's great. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we pray that you are blessed in everything we've done and said and saying in this place today. Father, we declare you are Lord over our lives, and we put you first in everything we do. Bless us as we leave this place, Lord. Put people in our path who need to hear the message of the gospel. And Father, as we prepare for this week, Lord, let you be exalted in everything we do and everything we say and everywhere we go. And we love you, God. We pray again for the people in Houston, and we pray that our offering will bless whoever needs to be blessed there. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you for coming, you guys.